Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas. Mr. David Paxton there on your left, well, he's joining us all the way from New York City. And right there in the middle is Mr. Mark Sutherland. He is our UK contributor, and he's also a Middle Eastern expert. And the reason that we're having Mark on today is because of everything that's happening there in the Middle East that Mark is closer to and more familiar with than any of us here in the United States. And he is a key contributor to this show. Mark, I believe you've been on two or three times before. We welcome you back. And I'm looking forward to your insight today, because what's going on in the Middle East, I believe, has very significant prophetic implications. Would you agree with that, sir? You with us, Mark? We may have lost Mark again.
Mark,
there he is. There he is.
What's happened? What's happened?
It's okay, Mark. We're talking continent to continent here. You know, you're overseas. Do you believe that what's happening in the Middle East right now has prophetic implications, that we're seeing biblical prophecy playing out right before our very eyes right now?
Yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do. Very much indeed.
Well, I know I do. And what really bothers me, Mark, and I'm going to start the show with this, is that the United States of America is in the process right now of choosing the wrong team. I've predicted this for months, and we are in the process of turning our back on Israel, turning our back on our best friend, and God is not going to put up with it. And if people don't believe me, then they can listen to this.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Caroline Malone with The Week in Review. Pro-Palestinian protests have continued across U.S. campuses. Students are saying they don't want their colleges to support Israel business, given action in Gaza. In New York, students have defied official requests for them to leave the Columbia University campus. Demonstrators have camped on college grounds for more than a week. Sally Patterson reports from Columbia in New York.
Outside Columbia University, protesters chant, "Bring them home." They're demanding the release of hostages still being held in Gaza. And they say what's happening on U.S. campuses across the country is, in their opinion, anti-Semitic. This comes as more and more demonstrations set up at college campuses, demanding that their universities boycott Israel and divest from Israeli companies as the war in Gaza goes on. Sally Patterson, New York.
The University of Southern California has cancelled its upcoming graduation ceremony, citing security concerns. It comes in the wake of campus protests over the war in Gaza and the controversial cancellation of a valedictorian's speech. From California, Ira Spitzer has this report.
USC says new security concerns mean it now won't have enough time to prepare for the graduation ceremony, which was supposed to take place on May 10th and is usually attended by about 65,000 students and guests. The Southern California University has arrested more than 90 pro-Palestinian protesters in recent days who were taking part in the demonstrations that have spread to campuses across the country. Tensions had already been running high at the school after administrators canceled a valedictorian scheduled to speak at the graduation, citing threats it had received over her anti-Israel viewpoints, but not providing evidence of those threats.
Yeah, they didn't provide any evidence of those threats because those threats don't exist. The problem is that the anti-Israel or the pro-Palestinian person was prepared to speak against Israel in some very severe terms, such as from the river to the sea, and that Zionists have no right to live. Yes, those are real reports. I'm reporting that as a member of the United States Press Association, that they were saying that anybody that has anything to do with Israel, anything that's pro-Israel, they don't have the right to live. And that's very significant. Also, you hear them talking about the hostages, bring them home. Well, how does Israel bring them home if Hamas blocks it? And if Hamas hides them? And if Hamas kills them? How do they bring them home then? It's completely idiotic. Would you agree with that, Mark, or what is your take on it? Did we lose him again? Well, we're having all kinds of problems.
I completely agree with you. And on it is this. Part two, Israel, from 1973. Israel basically is not allowed to actually win a war when it's actually attacked. And we see the political machination that maneuver to actually make that happen. This has to be put in context, which is a word that has been totally and utterly abused by many, by Columbia University, etc. In the fact that since 1967, when Israel won the Six-Day War, the European Union, the European Arab Dialogue, which really then began to take off from after the war of 1973, when the OPEC and the Arab League used oil as a weapon against countries that are pro-Israel, plus set in another context, that the French Empire, the fact that it had a lot of Muslim Arab countries within its empire, when de Gaulle then after the Second World War, the whole movement was to push forward a pro-French Arab axis and for them to fight against basically America, to be distal to them and to build the United States of Europe without an American constitution, and to then, by linking with Arab countries and having access to oil, and that was then the dream to create another economic bloc. In so doing, since the forming of Israel and a nation in 1948, there is this anti-Israel framework built into European culture, European politics. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, has now at the moment has spilled into America, because we have to look at the fact how a universe funded, whether that is through Qatar, through Iranian money, etc., etc. We are facing that over here in regard to the marches that are going on, and to see how they are then financed. Mm-hmm. But what happens, Jade, is people go to history and to then understand what is going on step by step. Because as you know, before Israel then declared themselves as a nation on the 15th of May 1948, the war started in 1947 against the Jewish people then were residing in Israel at that. When the declaration of May the 15th happened, then five countries immediately came against Israel the next day, and that war went on for a year. So by the time you then go to the 67 war, the 73 war, and in many ways we need a longer discussion at how the European Union, with huge questions to answer for, so it was the European economic bloc. A lot of questions in Israel start, and it's something for an economic bloc and in regard to oil. When they would have the meetings and the conferences between 1973 and 1975, and then you got a big push of turning around and saying, over time, we've got to recognize the PLO. Yasser Arafat moving into the situation where they would be legitimized. Now, let's put it in context, because we have to remember the planes that were being hijacked. We remember what happened in Munich. And appallingly, sadly, Israeli athletes were murdered. We then have the Black September group, etc. This was going on, and what would happen is that Yasser Arafat would say things to please the sort of Western audience, mm-hmm. and then say things for his backers on the other side. He once said to Bill Clinton, you know, in regard to not using violence anymore, but that's nothing that was then laid down in stone. So as we are finding over here within the UK, and as that report is talking about the anti-Semitism in Colombia, these marches in London, for argument's sake, are continuing every weekend. They have now cost us, the British taxpayer, £35 million. And there is a link between workers' organizations organizing these marches and then with Islamic groups. That is what is actually going on. And to remember the people like Ahmed Swala, who are connected with Hamas, who are then moved over here, supposedly someone who's retired. We have these kind of people in London. Mm-hmm. Just outside London, you have another individual that was responsible for writing up the fatwa on behalf of the Iranian mullahs against Salman Rushdie. Now, J.D., David, an incredible book by a writer called Batayor. She wrote a book called Eurabia, the EU, the Euro-Arab Axis. So I'm, you know, encouraging people to read books like this. Now, in Batayor's research, as I say, she goes through the history. She talks about, and we've mentioned this before, I think, where the Protocols of Zion, which is then coming out with anti-Zionism, anti-Jewish tropes, that has a background of being embedded within the USSR. Mm-hmm. And what we have to remember that as the foundation of Israel, America was the first person to, America and Russia were the first two countries to recognize the establishment of Israel as a nation. That's one of the reasons why America has passed, because of Genesis 12. Verse 3 is true. If you bless my people, I will bless you. You curse my people, I will curse you. What have to one human get here? Please don't recognize Israel. And then he did that. The USSR recognized it, thought that they would have a vision of socialism leading to communism within.
All right, I'm gonna break in on you, Mark. For one reason, and that is we're experiencing a little bit of breakup. And David, I think you might be able to fix that by putting the phone up. If you're still on the phone with him,
yep.
You can put that phone right up to your microphone, and that way, even if he breaks up, we'll hear him. Okay, I think that might play up. But Mark, I'm very interested in what you're talking about, because you've already brought up things like the Munich attack that was in Germany, right? The 1972
Olympics. The key is, JD, is when people are using violence to get an outcome. And over within Europe, politics with this whole access to European Arab dialogue. Hello, then used violence to be able to come to the table. The Arab practice was turning right. We are to have European dialogue. And we are asking you to show the Arabs in right, etc. So this access is not understood, even though Buckley wrote, along with other things that she has written, and this lady is 93, I think, has laid all this out. And like every has to understand the build up of this, because one of the ramifications of October the 7th and what's happening in Colombia and your universe is what's happening over here with our marches, etc., etc., is that people are questioning whether the nation of Israel has a right to actually exist, which you and I know that it does, and even the UN would have to admit that.
Yep.
I want to this is where
Real quick, David, I know where you're going, so I want to play this report, and then you can comment on it, David. Okay?
Listen
to this one real quick.
The United Nations is demanding an independent probe into alleged mass graves found at two hospitals in Gaza that had been besieged by Israeli forces.
UN Human Rights Chief Volker Türk issued the call, stating that independent, effective and transparent investigations into the deaths should be conducted. The hospitals in question are a Nasser Medical Complex in southern Gaza and Al-Shifa Medical Complex in northern Gaza. They were surrounded earlier this year by Israeli soldiers searching for militants. Benjamin Wright reporting.
Okay, David, go ahead.
Yeah, I notice a lot of things here that we see. Number one, for anyone who thinks that, oh, we're just going to join this protest and be pro-Hamas and pro-Palestine and all, take a look around at what's going on. All the encampments look the same, which means there's one group behind them, you know, setting everything up and organizing all of these things, and they're just rallying these uninformed or ignorant young folks to join a protest because it's cool. Kind of like in the 60s when they thought it was cool, and most of them didn't even know what was going on. Mm-hmm. So here is the problem. I've seen so many videos, and go look for them yourselves, everybody. Go look for the videos and say exactly what is it you're protesting? What is it about Palestine that you like or don't like? What do you think about this whole situation? And pretty much 90% of them don't have any idea what's going on, all right? But they just want to join the protests, and they make it cool to join the protests. So that's kind of where I wanted to lean with that, and then you know, everything else, I mean, as far as the Bible goes, we're seeing this play out more and more. And that just says the time is that much closer when every single nation will come against Israel. So, which leads me to say, well, if the church is not here, then because we're kind of the only ones that are in support of them. And sadly, there's a good portion of so-called Christians that are out there and that do not support Israel in this venue. And it's not because, you know, we say, hey, Israel is wonderful and they're perfect. No, they're not. We know that. We know they're apostate. We know the Bible says that they will reject God. And we know that in the end, they will repent. And that's what we're praying for. We're praying for Jesus to come to show himself to Israel and that they would repent and receive him as their savior. And that is our support of Israel.
Amen. Amen. Mark?
Well, there's Debbie's a very, very important thing because we're talking about replacement theology. And that whole thinking over here, as Bachior revealed, has then embraced and embedded within this whole European Arab dialogue. And what's fascinating, as he pointed out, that within the Catholic Church, in a discussion from 1962 to 1965, and this isn't the Catholic back, at that time, he refuted theology. This is, you're absolutely right. We are dealing with this. I'm trying to deal with this as much as I can, as graciously as I can, and pointing the truth out to people.
Well, now, Mark, we're having a little bit of technical issues, and I want to be clear here. This is not Mark's fault. This is my fault. Okay, for whatever reason, we're having some problems with the system, and I do apologize for that. For you guys that are listening in, Mark is key. He helps us out tremendously. He has incredible insight. We'll work on it a little bit between the first part of the show and the second, and hopefully we can squeeze out a little bit more to where keep him connected, because his message is something that you guys need to hear for sure. And you know, I just want to make it clear that again, I firmly believe that the United States is about to pick the wrong team in all of this, and that we're going to do away with our support of Israel. And if we do, that there are going to be severe consequences for the United States of America. And when I say severe, I mean severe. I'm not talking about something, you know, it's, oh, well, you know, something that people aren't going to recognize. Everybody in the United States is going to realize we just got hit, and we got hit by God. Now, you know, it
may be.
They're
going to know, and that's going to be all over the news. And they're going to say, just like they're finally admitting to the chemtrails, they're going to finally admit that this was God that hit the country.
Absolutely.
Every country that comes.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be so clear to everybody. But the thing is, I don't think it's going to matter one iota. I don't think it's going to matter at all. I think we will continue down that same path. And the reason that I hold that opinion is because the Bible tells me that nobody supports Israel. And right now, the United States is the only thing keeping everybody else from going into Israel. And Joe Biden's trying to play both sides against the middle, and he's failing on each side. Again, my personal opinion on that. And David, you might have a comment.
Yeah, I mean, it's what is written is written. I mean, it's a lot of my teaching lately is everything is done by contract. Mm-hmm. The word was written, you know, with how many thousands of years ago it started with Moses, right? And then it was written, so you can't change it. All right. And then even before that, we have talk about the Maserat, the stars. The entire story of redemption was written in the stars, and we see the dragon, and we see, you know, the lion, and we see all of this stuff. Everything we talk about within the prophecy world was actually written in the stars. And that's what he said to Job. Job was how long ago? You know, this is probably about the time of Abraham, let's say.
Right.
And even back then, he says to Job, can you take off the belt of Orion? You know, can you line up the Pleiades? And so he's talking about all these things, saying even back then, you can't change the story. The story already happened. So we just need to pray that it will come to pass that one third of Israel will actually repent and receive the Lord, because it says two thirds will be cut off, but then the one third will repent. And that's what we need to pray for.
Amen. Amen. I got one more report I want to play for you guys, because it's, again, this is about Israel, but it's also about the United States of America. And I think that this is an important report for people to hear.
Hamas has released a video of injured Israeli-American hostage Hirsch Goldberg Polin. The footage showed him delivering a lengthy statement that appeared to have been scripted by Hamas.
In a statement, Goldberg Polin's parents, through the Hostage Families Forum, said, Hirsch's cry is the collective cry of all the hostages. Their time is rapidly running out. With each passing day, the fear of losing more innocent lives grows stronger. Joseph Eckerson reporting.
I got news for him. The time ran out for a lot of those hostages weeks ago. You know, that's I'll admit that's personal opinion, but I don't think they've got hundreds of hostages anymore. I think most of them are dead. I think most of them have been dead since day one. You know,
it's Hamas, you know.
Right. Yeah. And you're going to trust them?
They're just I'm bent sure on not. Doing that, and then they lie.
Yeah. Mark, I'll let you get back in here.
Can I just make a comment about the news that you played before in regards to the body found outside the hospital? There is video footage that shows Palestinians were buried in bodies outside that hospital on the 5th of January. Now, there is then the discussion that the IDF soldiers had to search those bodies because they needed to find out if anyone knew. And I watched CNN report from C in such a way that they killed these. So it then creates a charade of accusation and to create as much bad press as possible. And again, this plays out. David is absolutely right when we are seeing biblical prophecy unfold. But it also, because it's a nation that we care for, because it's a people group that we care for, and I will say this as well, I don't want to see any Palestinian die either. But sadly, Hamas on the 7th of October crossed over into Israel and attacked 1,200 enemies, taking 256 hostages. And I think, JD, you're right. It is one of those, sadly, that most of those people, if they are hostages, if they haven't been rescued, they are dead, which is a terrible thing to say. But this is the situation we're in. Hamas attack, but we have to remind ourselves how many rockets they have sent into Israel since 2024, when they took over Gaza.
We have 30 seconds left in the first half. Let's pick this up again in the second half. We'll clean up all this audio and video, and then we'll be back for more.
Yeah, we will definitely try to clean it up. We'll make every effort because we want people to hear Mark. What he's got to say is extremely important. So you guys that are taking a break, hang in there with us. If your station is carrying both staff together, we'll be continuing.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Caroline Malone with The Week in Review. Pro-Palestinian protests have continued across U.S. campuses. Students are saying they don't want their colleges to support Israel business given action in Gaza. In New York, students have defied official requests for them to leave the Columbia University campus. Demonstrators have camped on college grounds for more than a week. Sally Patterson reports from Columbia in New York.
Outside Columbia University, protesters chant, "Bring them home." They're demanding the release of hostages still being held in Gaza. And they say what's happening on U.S. campuses across the country is, in their opinion, anti-Semitic. This comes as more and more demonstrations set up at college campuses, demanding that their universities boycott Israel and divest from Israeli companies as the war in Gaza goes on. Sally Patterson, New York.
The first criminal trial against a U.S. president, former leader Donald Trump, is ongoing in New York. He is accused of covering up hush money payments to an adult film star as part of charges of falsifying business records. Week two of the trial has centered on former tabloid publisher David Pecker, who says he did a catch-and-kill program to stop bad stories leaking out about Trump, and he advised his team to pay off adult film star Stormy Daniels. At the same time, the U.S. Supreme Court's nine justices heard arguments on Thursday on the question of former President Trump's immunity. Whatever opinion they form could have an impact on whether his trial goes ahead on election interference. Chinese President Xi Jinping says the U.S. and China should be partners, not rivals. He was speaking at a meeting with Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Laura Westbrook reports from Hong Kong.
The two sides did find areas of cooperation, for example, in climate change and having more cultural exchanges, including more students from both countries, and on the issue of fentanyl and its precursors, with the US keen to stop the flow of fentanyl going into the country from China. But Antony Blinken raised some serious concerns about Chinese components funding Russia's war effort in Ukraine. He also said that Chinese overcapacity was not about limiting China's economy, but really making it a fair and even playing field. Chinese President Xi Jinping also made some comments. He said that he hopes that the US can look at China's development in a positive light. He said this was fundamental in seeing the relationship improve and move forward.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, Mr. David Paxton there in New York. And hopefully we have resolved the issues there, at least with the audio portion for Mr. Mark Sutherland, who is our UK contributor to this show, along with a Middle Eastern expert. And we're trying to bring him in via phone rather than through a video connection. And that's the reason that you see a picture of him rather than he being able to see him on screen. And again, I take full responsibility for that. Please do not blame Mr. Sutherland for that at all. Mark, you were right in the middle of speaking when we had to go to when we had to break for the first half there. So if you would like to continue, please do.
No, thank you. We were just talking about the bodies that have been found out, whether the same were outside the particular hospital complex. I was raising the issue that the residents of Gaza, the Palestinians, were burying bodies there. There's video footage from January the 28th. And understandably, the IDF, in their search for Israeli hostages, had very carefully, to the best of their ability, had gone through some of those bodies to then find out if any hostages were buried. And we just remind ourselves that 1,200 Israeli citizens were killed on the 7th of October, right, and 256 hostages taken. And we were discussing the fact, as you quite rightly raised, JD, that, you know, that basically, sadly, this time we doubt it. Any of them are alive. A few weeks ago, Hamas were asked to inform Israeli authorities, you know, how many hostages were alive or dead, and they basically, alive, they couldn't actually come up with a figure for that. So we've got to remind ourselves how some of the Israeli hostages have been treated, which is just beyond words. And also the fact that even people that work for UNRWA were or even teachers in schools were hiding some of these hostages within their own homes. And that on the day of the 7th of October, there was citizens of Gaza who would not call themselves members of Hamas were then also crossing over the Israeli border, and at least in one case taking a hostage, and then this whole discussion of then selling that particular hostage to Hamas, etc., etc. A load of issues like this, a load of situations like this, this information is not discussed within the Western media. And JD, David, we are now on the edge of the Israelis having to go into Rafah, as the Israelis pronounce that, and that is on the border with Egypt. Reminding us now, there is a lot of Gazan residents on the move to clear from that area. If Egypt opened a gate, they could then go into the Sinai Desert and stay there for a period of time while the IDF go into Rafah, as we're then called it, and deal with the Hamas terrorists that are still left there. Let's just remind ourselves something that is very, very important as well. In the mainstream media, there is constant 34,000 people have died within Gaza. These figures come from the Ministry of Health, which is run by Hamas within Gaza. Remember that Hamas is the governing authority that was voted in by people that live in Gaza, and Hamas are a terrorist group, even if the BBC don't want to fully actually recognize that. So these figures, and of course those figures also include, they include Hamas fighters that have been killed, but they don't break that down. And when they are talking about any child or any person dying is extremely sad and appalling. But when they're saying children, now these particular individuals, they could be 14-year-olds who have been, you know, firing RPGs at IDF soldiers, etc., etc. Now, because of, and David quite rightly raised this, Columbia University, the tents, all of this seems totally and utterly all planned. There is this fifth column within our educational, within our universities that are fighting this against Israel as well. And then there is another front through the international courts in The Hague saying they're doing genocide, questioning Israel's legitimacy and all the rest. And unfortunately, people don't know their history. So one important piece of history is to actually read this. And I'm going to read from the history of Zionism, 1600 to 1918. And we'll read the Balfour Agreement. And dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which have been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. Her Majesty's government view with favour the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavours to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, signed, Arthur James Balfour. And I would like to say, and some people may say they're sick, but there have been a minimum of five agreements to say, look, we'll have a two-state solution. And even with Bill Clinton writing in his memoirs, where every time Arafat, etc., would turn this down. Now, Israel, just a reminder, is the size of Wales, right? And as a nation. Now, it's extremely small. In 1922, Churchill then gave away 78% of the land that was promised to the Jews and created Transjordan. Mm-hmm. And after that, then officially then became Jordan. And just to remind everyone that in 1948, the country that came against Israel. In 1967, they ended up joining in, even they were warned not to, but they joined in and then bombed West Jerusalem. And in 1967, because of that is one of the fruits of war, Israel was attacked, so they took the whole of Jerusalem. Israel was attacked, so they then had the land of Gaza, which up until that point was under Egyptian rule. Now, whatever people say, the legitimacy of a country is there. It exists. It wouldn't be very, very pleasant to say, right, well, we'll get rid of the UK or we'll get rid of America. How would we feel about that? But David's making a really, really important point. As I am discussing the geopolitics of what's going on, and that is how with Ephesians 6, we talk about the fact that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And the principalities and powers are then exercising themselves through the political outlet. All three of us will not deny and cannot and never will what the Bible says in regard to this is a prophetic unfolding, which happened officially on May the 15th, 1948, and the fact that officially the Jewish people are back in their land as a nation. Mm-hmm. Of course, they have been dispersed. The diaspora, that is what it means. And I believe, I think it's Isaiah 66, where it talks about, can I bring a nation back in a day? Yes. Now, as Biden is playing two sides, we as a nation, in regard to then being put in charge of Palestine under the mandate laid out, we also, as the British, played both sides. We had then, of course, Lawrence of Arabia asking Arabs to fight the Ottoman Empire and making certain promises that we didn't fulfill, etc., etc. But we were pro-Arab in many, many of our actions and not seeing through a Jewish state. And what we've got to remember, Theodore Herzl was not, as one of the founders of modern-day Zionism from the late 1880s onwards, and then he would not have called himself a religious Jew. Mm. And many, many, many of Jewish people, and there was always Jews within the land, even after God saying, I'm going to disperse, or even after Hadrian in 135, we're going to destroy the temple. So you cannot deny those links. And I'll just remind us, Jesus is Jewish, mm-hmm. right? Let's just remind that. When people turn around and say, oh, he's Palestinian. No, we then end up having this discussion that says Palestinian as a people group did not exist until Yasser Arafat's victimology from 1967. Now, we have got to bear all of this in mind. We have to bear in mind the Oslo Agreement and the fact that you've got a left-wing thinking, and the left-wing thinking says within Israel politics of turning around and saying, well, if we keep trading land for peace, then it will be okay. And just to remind ourselves, when Ariel Sharon came out of Gaza, asked all Jewish people that were living in Gaza, were evacuated out of Gaza, all their relatives that had died and buried in cemeteries, all their bones, etc., were exhumed and dug up and taken to Israel. The reason being is so that these people would not be taken as hostages, which is the classic thing that had played out. And let's just remind ourselves of Lebanon in 1982 as a civil war. Lebanon in the past would have called itself a Christian country. Mm-hmm. And then it took so many Palestinians in, and that by 1975, a civil war is breaking out. We've got to remind ourselves in 1970, a number of Palestinians in Jordan, the king then not particularly happy about that, then getting a Pakistani major in called Haag and putting down the insurrection that's going on there, and 20,000 Palestinians were killed. Remind ourselves, no Arab country wants to take in these Palestinians. And I come back down to it. I come back to it. But in 1973-4, after the 73 war, the Arabs, in regard to the European Arab dialogue, as Batayor has laid out, they then again used the Palestinian people as a way of weaponizing them against
Israel. And as David has pointed out brilliantly, unfortunately, all these young kids who are now within the Marxist training camps of these universities do not understand history and do not understand what has gone on. And JD, I just want to touch on something that you've said. You are not the only country that is under God's judgment. And I am extremely fearful for my own nation. Mm-hmm. Now, the history of it, and in the past when it has backed Israel or not, is frankly extremely questionable. In 1973. Nixon, just remind ourselves, Nixon's mother had said to him, one day you will help the Jewish people. And against Henry Kissinger's advice and all the rest, he helped into making sure that military support in regard to hardware actually went forward. Just to remind people that may not know this, but my own understanding within the, I think within the war of 1967, but just before that, de Gaulle of France, the French president, who seemed very, very ungrateful with his behavior after the Second World War for the sacrifice that many, many Americans made in regard to the landing of D-Day, of course, bombing Germany, then put forward a policy of not arming Arab states militarily. Actually, it wasn't about the other Arab states. It was about not arming Israel. And again, the French have played both sides as well. And the reason why I am laboring this, and we hold Bible prophecy in hand, and by able to talk to people about the politics, we are then able to steer them. And I believe that's one of my jobs, that I am constantly learning to then steer them in a direction to then talk about this, to talk about the politics, the history, but it lines up with what Scripture says, and as David has laid out, which is every single nation will turn against Israel. There are millions of Americans that stand with Israel, stand with the citizens of Israel, Amen. That have flown over to help, to bring in harvest, to support that country. But the administration, which is the O'Biden administration, as so many call, which is really Obama's policies, which are anti-Israel. And that is what is being played out. And because he's extremely worried about his Dearborn, Michigan block, and because he needs those votes, the up and coming presidential election. I just want to end with a little comment on here. When we talk about Ephesians 6, we're not fighting flesh and blood and principalities and powers. Bear this in mind. My own understanding of Dearborn and that under that area is where Henry Ford had his Ford factory to produce his cars. When you go through the history of Henry Ford and who he was extremely anti-Semitic, and it's very, very sad, but he was. Now, spiritually, look at what is then embedded there. I find this fascinating. I find it fascinating. It's a bit like Chicago, where we look at Chicago politics and think of everything that comes out of there, especially when we begin to look at the Parliament of World Religions, which is a subject for another day, which had the first parliament in 1893 and was the opening within America of Eastern European faiths and religions coming into America. These events spiritually are profoundly significant. They really are. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at history. A lot of people may like to think that, say, within the First World War, it was extremely simple. No, it's a complexity of how that started way back to Napoleon. And sadly, because the Balfour Agreement, and I'm not defending bankers, and I am not saying that banks or the Rothschild family people were then financing both sides within regard to the Battle of Waterloo, financing us, financing Napoleon within that military campaign at that time. I'm not decrying, I'm not denying that. But within the Balfour Agreement, when Balfour is writing to Edmund Rothschild, I'll say again, if God can use an ass, then God can use the Rothschild banking and their money and then can use them to buy thousands of acres within Israel, can then use their money to then finance the building of the Knesset. We are in no position turn around and deny what we passionately believe in, which is God, which is the prophetic outworking of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Because everyone thinks, just quickly, there was a sign within London. I don't sit here going, thus says the Lord. But a couple of days ago, there was troops of Royal Regiment riding their horses through London. Mm-hmm. The soldiers were desaddled from their horse, thrown off. There was some building work going on. The horses then were scared by that. Normally they're extremely well trained. We then saw pictures of two horses, one black, one white, and then sadly with blood all over the front of the white horse, dashing for nearly 6 miles through London. At 10 o'clock, I think, Big Ben then stopped, maybe 11 o'clock, stopped for an hour. Now, this Big Ben had been refurbished in 2022, and then in France, I think it's in Moulin Rouge, yeah, in France, the windmill vanes actually fell off the windmill. Now, they, I believe, are events that we need to think about. Mm. But the problem is, a society where it is godless, we don't believe in God, we don't want the Bible, and we just think that after the COVID, you know, lockdown and stupidity, that everything is going to go on and everything is going to be fine. And I personally do not believe that everything is going to go on and everything is going to be fine. And I do believe that we're in the last days. But am I able to say when Jesus is coming back, this is going to happen, that's going to happen? No. However, the Bible makes things clear in regard to being, we are in the season. And when as David has made it very clear that nations will line up against Israel, and we cannot deny that at all. And it's not the first time where the political machinations behind the scenes, and we in this nation, it goes back for a long, long time. And if a people group like of course the Jewish people, where their land mass, as I say, is the size of Wales and is the size of New Jersey in America, and then you look at all the Middle Eastern countries around, they will not take the Palestinians in because they want to use them as a whipping boy against Israel, because Hamas says, we wish to wipe out Israel as a nation. And if you're wiping out a nation, you are then wiping out a people group. Now, at the moment, I think there is 10 million Israelis citizens living in that land. Just a reminder of nearly 2 million of those citizens are, in fact, people of Arab descent, and they have full citizens' rights within Israel, no matter what Candace Owens says. No, it's not an apartheid system or anything like that. They have full citizenry. And the other thing is, before people go and say it's white colonialism, I turn around and say, would you kindly look at how the people of Israel are made up? There are a lot of people in Israel, maybe the vast majority, who are not white, and this is an important, it's an important issue to say that it means that we have to be in discussion, we have to work extremely hard to get our facts right. And there is no doubt about it, as they say, that there, and a friend of mine over here, Karen Harradine, journalist, and with her friend Norman Benton, have written an amazing article, and I should send you the link, where it talks about why Jews within America and elsewhere are not standing up for Israel. And then there is this anti-Zionist thinking. Mm. And if you go through history, we go through all the pogroms, we go through every single century, and we look at the persecution of the Jewish people. And I would have to say, and I had this the other day, I don't find it very helpful. I don't mind any. I'm already having loads of criticism. Fine, mm-hmm. it comes with the territory. Hallelujah. Amen. At times it's not easy.
I really hate to break in, Mark, but we're running very low. We're
almost out of time. Yeah, I wanted to read one thing real quick, and then let JD take us out. We're near the end of the show. But that's Matthew 23, and it just speaks to it. Now, you can go back and read the whole chapter, but essentially it's, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then in the final verse, final three verses, you'll see that it says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." And we're seeing that come forth. So mm-hmm. it says, "For I say unto you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So we're looking forward to that, right, JD?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was listening very intently to you, Mark, and one thing that popped out, and you're only going to have like 30 seconds to answer this question. Okay, but you were saying that there were some citizens in Hamas that were actually selling hostages to Hamas, just normal Palestinian citizens. Is that a report that's coming out of the UK? Because I have no information on that one.
Well, I'll have to get that to you, but there has been a discussion on that in regard to one case and maybe more. Okay. There has been a discussion in regard to, you know, UNRWA teachers, and one particular person, I think, was a child doctor and holding a hostage within their own home. Okay. And that is a discussion that's come out. So, I will find you the links.
As I said, that's the first I'm hearing of it, and I'm going to do some research into that because I'm sure your information is correct. I just have to go in, and I would love to get a report on that. I love the history lesson, though, because it shows that Israel is the only one that's really negotiating, and they're the only one that getting hit with the criticism, and Hamas and the Palestinians in general are doing everything that they can not to come up with a two-state solution, as they call it, even though we know from biblical scripture and prophecy that they're not going to get it. You know, at least nothing that's going to stick. So anyway, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on. And, of course, we'll have you back on in the future. I don't think things are going to slow down. I don't think things are going to get better. I think it's going to get faster and worse. And we treasure you as our consultant over there in the United Kingdom. David, if you want to finish off the show, it's all yours.
Yeah, so we thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together and to seek your word and to understand the times like the sons of Issachar and to be Bereans and search the scriptures and see these things are true. So that's it for this show, ladies and gentlemen. The time is approaching when Jesus will return, and we hopefully see that you will receive him as well. Have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, But it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.